Thank you, Doug, and we're so thankful and grateful that God has afforded us the opportunity to be in His presence this morning and to be able to congregationally lift up our voices unto God and to meditate upon the timely truths of God's eternal Word. You know, this morning I want to talk to you about a subject. It may seem a little bit unusual, but it is so true. We have a lot of camouflaged Christians in the world. And what I mean by that is those who profess Christianity only to a few and camouflage yourselves when it comes to others. You know, isn't it a shame that those who are called Christians are so afraid to acknowledge to the world that we belong to God, that we are children of God? Would you this morning say by acclamation that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And may God help you to always live by the great testimony of your faith in Christ to be God's Son. But I'm afraid that when it comes to camouflage, that a lot of people camouflage themselves. They don't want the world to know that they're Christians, because they would look hypocritical if they continue to live an ungodly lifestyle and yet to have a profession of their faith at the same time. You cannot live for God and live for the world at the same time. So this morning, bear with me as we talk about camouflage Christians, and there are many of them. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14, Paul goes to great lengths to help us understand just who they really, really are. We have to, first of all, be careful of who you trust. You know, the devil is working, as I mentioned in our Bible class this morning, aggressively to accomplish his will. And he is the master of design and the master of disgust. He really, really is. Because he disguises himself in so many ways. The Bible says that the devil, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, transforms himself into an angel of light, and thereby will deceive many. And many are led astray simply because they had not a love for the truth, and they walk in darkness. And no wonder that even Satan disguises himself. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. He conveys himself to the world as an angel of light. You know, most of us have the concept of the devil wearing a red suit, horns, you know, those kind of things, carrying a pitchfork. That's not the way the devil looks. The devil looks and appears to many people to be very beautiful. He appears to be something that he is not in reality. But that is the nature of Satan. He will not disclose who he really, really is. You know, I saw some of these pictures the other day on the internet, and I thought it was interesting how this snake has actually camouflaged himself around the leaves of our time. Do you see a viper or a snake in this particular slide? He did a pretty good job, didn't he? But in this day and age that we are living, you can't tell the difference between a saved, blood-bought child of God and a lost sinner. What distinguishes you from the rest of the world? Think about it just a moment. Are you a Christian? And are you a professing child of God? And if you are, what is the difference between the way you live and the way that the world around us may live? The saint and the sinner, we sing, shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? And the only difference between the saint and the sinner is that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. Think about it. You know, you and I, as God's children, maybe we did all kinds of things before we became children of God. And our past is there. But aren't you thankful this morning that we, as God's people, have a future? We have a future in knowing that we're going to live with God. Now, I want to talk to you about a number of things. Number one, I want to tell you that many of us blend with the world. As I said, sometimes you just can't tell the Christian from the non-Christian. And yet, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said to let your light so shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, notice what he said. Let your light shine. And you know what? Just think about it. These lights up here are radiating little beams of light that are coming down on you this morning. They are. And you can't directionally, pardon me, be able to tell exactly where they're going. You know, in that same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savoring ability, wherewith shall it be salted? Have you ever thought about a salt shaker, you know, and little grains of salt? You know, when you turn that salt shaker upside down, you don't know where all that salt is going. You've got little drops, little beads of salt that are just maybe going in different directions. And quite appropriately, Jesus said that we are to be the salt of the earth. And that's what we are. And we have to get out of the salt shaker, first of all. And I think of the church being a place where the salt, we got a salty congregation here this morning. Now, but at the same time, God says, get out of the shaker and go out into the world and be the salt that is savoring, that has not lost its savoring ability. But do not blend with the world. Do you remember when Peter was taken by the Sanhedrin council? And, well, actually, he was up warming his hands by the fire. And so anyway, a little damsel said about Peter, well, you know, he's a Galilean also. And they said, oh, no. He said, no, I'm not a Galilean. And he did this about three times. And the little lady said, yes, you are, because your speech betrays you. I wonder today, does our speech betray us? Do we talk one way when we're here and then talk another way when we're away from the building or the edifice? We have to be very, very careful. And in the book of Psalms 19:14, David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my Lord and my Redeemer. Would the world know you're a Christian by the way you talk? Did you camouflage it? How many of you have ever done something, maybe in your life, and you thought, oh no, you know, I should not have done that. That was a bad influence on a lot of people. Probably we all have done that at times. Well, take off the camouflage and become the child of God that you must really, really be. In Colossians 3:8, Paul says, but now you must put them all away from you. And he lists them. These things can't be a part of a Christian. And he says, get rid of the anger and the wrath and the malice and the slander and the obscene talk from your mouth. The Bible says that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now, for some reason or another, we have relegated that to using the word God and then adding an adjective like damn or darn or whatever at the end of the word God. And that's the only way that you take the name of God in vain. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of ways that you can take the name of God in vain. When you become a Christian and you stand before me and you make the confession that Christ is the Son of God and you yield your body to be baptized into Christ and you come up out of that water a new Christian, a child of the Most High God. And when you do not live by the commitment that you make at that moment, you have taken God's name in vain. Let me tell you why I know that to be true. In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, you remember Jesus said, in vain do you worship me? teaching for doctrine the commandments of men? He said, you sing to me with words that fall from your lips, but they don't come from your heart. And there is a difference. When we sing, it ought to be coming from our heart, not just up here, not just memory, but from the heart. And that's the commandment of God. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That, my friend, is an important commandment of God. And many of us take his name. You know, I hear people, Christians sometimes, that use profanity and they take the name of God in vain everywhere they go. I've even had people ask me, is he a member of your church? And even though I was tempted to say, no, he's a member of the Baptist church, I would have to confess, yes, that is true. And God is saying, watch your mouth, watch your lips, what they say, that they speak no guile. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, he says, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows who you are. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You get rid of the iniquity in your heart and in your life. Take off the camouflage. Don't come to church here and be a Sunday morning Christian and go back out into the world and live like the devil. For in Matthew 6 and 9 says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know what it means to hallow the name of God? It means to honor the name of God. It means to praise the name of God. And when we come together here, it's all about praise, folks. It's not about entertainment here. We had entertainment last night. But this is not about entertainment. This is about worshiping God. Sometimes people look at the congregation of the Lord's people on Sunday and refer to it as the audience. Do you realize that you're not the audience? You are the ones who are on stage. God is the audience. He is the one who is listening when we pray. He is the one who is listening when we sing. He is one who is honored and glorified when we esteem him. And in Psalms 83 and 18, David said, may they know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. No camouflage. You know what? How many of you have seen a little bumper sticker on the back of a car that says, what you see is what you get? I'm going to tell you, that's the way we ought to live. We ought to live transparent lives. What you see is what you get. I don't live one way here in the pulpit and go out on Monday morning and do those things that are corrupt and defiled and ungodly in the name of whatever. The Bible says for Christians in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17 and 18, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. You know, have you ever thought about how easy it is to conform to the world? We do. We talk like the world. We act like the world. We dress like the world. By the way, this coat was given to me. I finally worked up enough nerve to wear it. But we are much like the world, and we camouflage the way that we live. We come to church on Sunday morning so saintly, and then we head out on Monday morning, and we put all the camouflage on. We don't want anybody to know we're a Christian, not down at the workplace, not out at the school. We don't want to be seen as Christians. But don't be transformed by like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, Romans 12. But secondly, a camouflaged Christian cannot bear good fruit. And do you know what Jesus said happens to the tree that does not bear good fruit? He said it is cut down and it is thrown into the fire. It is parabolic of the way that we live our lives. That we will live in fire in the eternal realm called hell if we fail to take off the camouflage. But the fruit of the Spirit and the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. But you know what? Nobody's going to listen to you. You know, we hear a lot about hypocrites. You know who a hypocrite is? The word hypocrite actually came from ancient times when they would have plays and someone would walk upon the stage and play the part of one individual, and then he would go take the mask off and he would put another mask on and he would play the other part. And that's what we do sometimes. God says, get rid of the mask. Take it off. Don't be a camouflage Christian. Christ said in John 15, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it unto you. Sometimes I think all the great blessings of God have been denied because we are people that are wearing camouflage. And God says, get rid of your camouflage and I'll bless you. Get rid of the camouflage. And thirdly, trade in your camo for spiritual armor. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says that we're to put on the whole armor of God, the entirety of it. You make sure that you are adequately equipped with the armor of God. That's what he says. Don't leave anything undone. And then he says, and then praying with all supplication in the Spirit. When I think about the Christian armor in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, here was kind of a depiction maybe in my mind's eye what it would look like. I like what Paul says. He doesn't say just put on the breastplate of righteousness and you're adequately attired. But he says put on the whole armor. Now the reason he said that is that some might be prone or have that propensity to actually put on just part of it and not all of it. But there is the helmet of salvation, as he mentions up here. And then the belt of absolute truth. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then our feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. That you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one that Satan is going to be throwing at you every day and every moment of your life. If the truth were known this morning, and you're going to be honest with yourself about this, would you say, and would you have to say, I'm in hiding. I've been hiding. Jesus said to let your light so shine before the world that they might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Men do not light a candle and put it under a bushel. It'll snuff out the light. But you put it, Jesus said, on a candlestick, and then it gives light to all that are in the house. We got a lot of folks who need to come out of hiding and being honest with God. We need people that will say, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. For I, like Paul in the book of Romans 1 and verse 16, am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know, we've been hearing a lot about vaccines here lately. And people have been disputing those. Some of those I agree with on Senator Kennedy. And some I don't. But I know one thing, that the blood of Jesus Christ is my vaccine against sin. The blood of Jesus. For the royal blood of Christ flows through my veins, spiritually and physically. And I'm thankful I don't have to put on camouflage. I wouldn't do it. Someone told me one time, they said, you know, I've been working down there at that job for about 20 years, and I still don't think they found out that I'm a Christian. If that's the case, why don't they know it? And sadly, to say through the years, and I've known all of you and been with you, I've heard some people say, I can't believe that she or he is a member of your church. I wouldn't know that they're Christians. The song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. Take off the camo and put on the whole armor of God. Now, I said the blood of Christ flows through my veins, and it does. I've been vaccinated by Dr. Jesus. He is the great physician. And that's where baptism comes into play. Sometimes people raise the issue about baptism and why one is baptized. One is baptized in order to receive the forgiveness of sin, and he is vaccinated from the ungodly things of the world that could take charge of our life. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. One must be baptized to be vaccinated. That's where it happens, folks. That's why it's so important. That's why I appeal to you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to give your life to Christ. Obey his word. Surrender. And make the great profession of faith. And then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And should you have strayed away as a child of God, that's not the end. The end would be where you continue to stray and you just keep walking away from God. But there's a way back home. And that's through Jesus our Lord. We're going to sing a song of encouragement here in just a moment, to give any of you and all of you an opportunity to respond in a public way to the call of Jesus. To be baptized. To have your sins washed away through the royal blood of Christ our Lord. So let us stand and let us sing.